This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843. Friday, we are ready to rock out here from Hialeah Park. And as we promised you, Alex Chizik, the head of listings for OK Coin and the host for the Hardcore Finance Show, ready to join us here. Alex, how you doing, my brother?
Hello, hello, hello. Happy to join. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I can't complain. I got my NFT, by the way, from Star Atlas. Thank you for that drop. Appreciate it.
Good.
That was good. So talk to me a little bit. You got into crypto back in 2016. And I want to ask you about it, because one of the things that I run into with my show is, you know, we have to educate a lot of people about this, because there's an intimidation factor. There's this FUD factor that we have to deal with. You know, like, I'll get on the chat board and somebody say, well, Bitcoin's a fad. Bitcoin's a Ponzi scheme. Bitcoin's this, Bitcoin's that. So what made you get into it, and how did you cross that threshold of being intimidated and understanding that this is really the future?
Yeah, well, look, first of all, thanks for having me on your show. I'm a big fan of South Florida specifically. I have a lot of good friends that went to FIU. I've been down in Miami all the time. We're big supporters of Miami, the mayor. From an OK Coin perspective and from a personal perspective.
Sure.
I think you ask a good question. And for your audience, I maybe I'll give a little bit of a long-winded answer, but I really feel very passionately about this. And so my background is in business. I have an MBA. I've kind of studied business and finance my whole career. And very recently, and I studied technology. And I'll explain to you why this matters. When I was at Microsoft, I was tasked with writing the blockchain strategy, which is the fundamental technology that Bitcoin and others sit on. And when I studied it, it was like the Matrix. You know, when you look at the Matrix or the movie The Matrix, when Neo takes the pill and then the world changes and you see the world for something different.
Right.
And it takes, I think, especially for the people that have been, you know, either experienced in life in a certain perspective or highly educated, it takes people the humbleness, right? It really humbled me to put away a lot of the things that I've learned and to try to see a world from a new perspective. And for your audience, I want to say this, and I don't mean this, this is not an exaggeration. And I mean this in a very well thought out, very well researched perspective. Crypto is the biggest shift in generational and like a generational wealth shift, the biggest investment opportunity that we've had in the last 1,000 years. And we will be lucky to have another opportunity like this in our lifetime. And I really wholeheartedly believe this. And so here's kind of why.
By the way, I'm with you, and I'm thinking of the gold rush.
It's exactly what it is.
Except we don't have to, you know, filter stuff and go into mountains and rivers and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's a different kind of mining that's going on nowadays. But go ahead.
Exactly. No, it's a different kind of mining. But, you know, you say, hey, look, you and I have talked, privately, and I've kind of helped you navigate the world.
Yes.
This is an aside. And you're saying, hey, I'm getting used to this. And
I told you, you're the Jedi Master. I'm the Jedi Master.
And for the people out there that haven't been, are not used to this, it is a little complicated now. And this is because we're so early. If it was easy, you wouldn't have the same kind of gains, but the gains are real. And so let's go back and understand why there's so many gains and what is crypto. Cryptocurrencies, and specifically Bitcoin. So if you're a beginner, focus on Bitcoin, forget everything else for now, right? Once you get a little bit deeper into it, you can focus on a lot of the other assets and we can talk about those. But if you're a beginner, Bitcoin allows you to have something called digital hard money, okay? And so we have to think of money as a technology. Way back when we had seashells and we passed those around, or stone tablets, and then we got coins. And then some kings would put a little bit less gold in their coins. It would be a little less pure. Some people had silver coins, copper, gold. Then we had paper money. Then we had, you know, equities, right? Then you had money decoupled from gold. All of this are technological innovations of money, okay? And so think about a book, right? You can take and flip a book. And then came the Kindle, where you can read a book, right, on an electronic device. Right. And then came a, you know, Audible, where you could listen to books as you're walking. The Kindle and the Audible took some time to get used to, but they are fundamentally better products than the book, which is the greatest technological invention since literally the Bible. The Bible is made so you can open it, go to a page, because it was the Torah before, without going too deep into details, you can open and close the book to whatever page.
Right.
Huge technological, 2,000 years, right? It was the number one for 2,000 years. The Kindle comes and it's now taking over the books, right? For especially the younger generations. Bitcoin and crypto is the same thing with money. Money was good. It was paper money. We've used it. Now we have digital hard money, okay? The blockchain works in a way that you can trust without trusting the other counterparty. And that's a fundamental computer science breakthrough that we've never had. And so because of that, you're able to say for Bitcoin, there are 21 million Bitcoins, and each Bitcoin is a million Satoshis. Think of it as a dollar and many, many cents. So you can break it. It's infinitely divisible. You can buy 0.0001 Bitcoin. You can spend $5 and buy whatever that is for you for Bitcoin. But there's only 21 million that are ever going to be made. So while our government sits there and prints money, just like, and the European governments print money and the governments abroad print money, just print more and more and more. When you have more money coming into the system, your dollars are worth less. If Orlando, if you have 50 bucks and I have 50 bucks and you and I both share the world 50-50, and then the government comes in and says, oh, here's another 100 bucks for anybody out there, your worth and my worth just decreased by half. Yep, that's just right. Like that. And the government, I forgot the exact stat, but I think 40 to 50% of the current dollars in circulation right now have been printed in the last 1.5 years.
That's right.
If that doesn't scare people, right, it doesn't even matter what side are you on, Republican or Democrat. We had COVID. We needed to help and rescue people. We printed a lot of money.
By the way, both presidents printed a lot of money, so it doesn't really matter.
Exactly. It's just the natural, when you decouple money in 1971, we decoupled it from gold. We talk about this a lot on the podcast. Before, when you had, let's go back. When you were a king and you wanted to go conquer someone, you wanted to go start a war, you were like, I have this much of my treasury. If I waste all this money and I don't win the war, like, I'm done. So right. I'm only going to spend money on positive ROI projects, so return on investment, projects that are giving me money back. Now, when you've decoupled money from gold, so the US dollar, in God we trust, right? So in the dollar. And there's no gold backing it. There's some, but not, we decoupled in 1971. Now we can go spend money wherever we want. And if we run out of money, what do? We literally print more money, and now we have more dollars. Bitcoin solves that. It's a digital gold. And here's what blew my mind when I started researching Bitcoin. We are very lucky. I wasn't born in this country. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone. And for me, my family, Thanksgiving is probably the most important holiday for us. We're very thankful for America. I'm very thankful for this country, about all the beautiful things, freedoms it gives that other countries don't allow. But many other countries out there, most other countries out there, have some sort of freedom reducing mechanism, capital controls. You can't take X money out, right? I have this as a side note, I have a story. I left the Soviet Union. And when we were leaving the Soviet Union, my grandfather had this amazing coin collection. It was silver rubles. And we literally couldn't take it out of the country. So he stuffed it in my pants. And I was a 5-year-old boy, stuffed it in my jeans. And I remember going through the metal detectors in Frankfurt. We traveled through Frankfurt, through Germany. My pants are falling off, and I'm kind of holding up my pants. And I go through, and the metal detector, of course, goes off. And the security officer looks at me, and he just kind of shakes his head and smirks and lets the kid go through. But that is literally, we got lucky. That's the only way to take out a coin collection from a country. This happens in India, definitely in China, Argentina, Turkey, Venezuela, Colombia, pretty much the whole developing world. You cannot take your money out. Imagine not being able to take your wealth out. And it's hard for us in America to imagine this. And I'm going in this diatribe because I really want the listeners to understand and put yourselves. And I think a lot of people in, you know, in South Florida have the perspective of obviously immigrants, right? Cuban, a lot of Cuban Americans in there, the Cuban descendants in South Florida, a lot of Latinos, you know, my wife, my family is half Latino. So I totally appreciate, especially in America, what some of the governments could do to you. So now with Bitcoin, you have your mind, you have 12 words in your head. With those 12 words, you don't have gold that someone can come and steal and put a gun to your head and say, give me your gold jewelry. You have 12 words in your head and no one knows whether you have those 12 words or not. And you can move your money around the globe with those 12 words memorized in your head, and you can open up any wallet anywhere in the world and move money like this. That's never been done in the history of humankind. And this is exactly why Bitcoin is not a Ponzi scheme. It's very volatile. Any new asset, look at Amazon. Look at the Amazon stock. It's fallen 3 or 4 times by 50%. In the dot-com era, 90%. If you bought Amazon at the height of the dot-com era, it fell 90%. You would have been a millionaire today, okay, if you held on to Amazon. Same thing with Bitcoin. Yeah, I'll pause there. I wanna give it back to you. I feel so passionately about this, especially having seen.
I love it. I love your passion, yeah. because I've seen the light, you know, and I understand what we're trying to accomplish here. We're trying to empower the human being, not the American, not the Canadian, exactly. Not the Colombian, not the African, not the Cuban. No, we're trying to empower the human being. And you know, I give Venezuela's president a lot of credit for doing what he's doing because
Salvador,
because he is saving his country like a lot of these countries that are, you know, we're headed in that direction with what we're doing with our dollar, but we've watched other countries that have destroyed their currency. And it's hard for us because there are so many people that control and dictate who gets the money and who doesn't, who gets the loan and who doesn't. And crypto, what people don't understand, it's going to empower you to be able to be your own bank. And you don't have to answer to the government or anybody else. And that's what people have to understand. And then, you know, explain a little bit how Bitcoin is a hedge against inflation.
Yeah. So this, you know, it's a great lead in. And I completely agree. It empowers the individual, the sovereign individual, to take control of your wealth. There are some risks with that. Don't lose those 12 words, right? Don't get hacked.
He's talking about the keys, by the way, folks. For those of you that are not getting, when you open up an account, you will get 12 words, a key, and those 12 words are it's the ultimate lock, passwords to get into your portfolio. In other words,
exactly. If you're on a centralized exchange like OKCoin, we take care of that for you. It's a login and password, and we can talk about safety and two-factor authentication, how to be safe on the web in general. Well, let's talk about how Bitcoin is a hedge against inflation. So
yes.
Inside the code of Bitcoin, which for all purposes cannot be changed, there's a caveat to this. For those of you who are pretty deep into crypto, you know, ask me, but for all purposes cannot be changed. It will never be changed. It's too big to change, like too big to fail. It's not too big to change. That's why Bitcoin open.
Oop, your mic there. Wait a minute. Your mic. Can you hear your mic? Oh, he dropped. Okay. As it looks like he hit something and then it dropped him. It dropped the voice and then it dropped him. So we'll get him right back now. Alex Chizik, by the way, is the head of listings for OKCoin.com. You can go to your app and you can download OKCoin. You can check it out. And by the way, Miami Coin, you can get 280%. Polygon is like at 15.4%. Polkadot. So go check it out. They've got a lot of great listings. He's also got the host of the Hardcore Finance Show. Alex is back. Alex, go ahead. You're answering that question about Bitcoin, how it is a hedge against inflation, which I think in quarters 3 and 4 of next year, we might be feeling some heavy, heavy stuff. But go ahead.
Yeah, your thoughts. Sorry about that. I got excited and started talking with my hands. That's the Italian that's not ever in me. So for all sorts of purposes, you cannot change the code of Bitcoin. Okay. And so what happens is, as the government prints more money, traditionally the best hedge against inflation has been gold. Why? There's a thing called the stock to flow model. Basically, is how much is made divided by how much is available. So the lower that ratio is, the harder it is to make something, the more scarce it is. It's a finite amount. Okay. But gold, we can mine more, we can get more. Their estimates in the next 10 years will increase our gold supply, I think, by 50%. The point is, you can make more gold and you can find more gold. Then there was real estate. Okay. And there is real estate, which is a great investment for different reasons, but you can always build up. They're not scarce. There's more scarce than dollars, which you can print. Then there are equities. Okay. So equities, where you can buy different parts, stocks of a company, they're not scarce. A company can create more, but right, you're at least getting exposure to the upside. As the company grows and the economy grows, the company grows, you get exposure there. So it's a decent hedge, but it's not great. So we've the hardest hedge we've ever had, the hardest money has been gold. And until now, Bitcoin is digital gold that's better than gold in every single way. First, it's 100% finite, okay? 21 million Bitcoin will ever be made, ever. And 19 million are pretty much already minted. So there's less and less ever made. Two, it's much more divisible. When next time you want to go and melt your golden earrings and then give a part of your golden earring to McDonald's to pay for a burger, you let me know, okay? Because you cannot do this now. So gold has been great, but you can't do this with Bitcoin. You literally can go to many stores, especially in Salvador, and pay with Bitcoin in a second, okay? So it's more divisible, more fungible. It's much more transparent. Does anybody know how much gold there is in Fort Knox? Do you know, Orlando?
I have no idea. I know it's a lot, but I have no idea what it is.
Either. No one has an idea.
And by the way, I also know gold hasn't moved a damn bit in 10 years.
Exactly. Why? So we can talk about that, right? We can talk about why, but we don't even know how much gold there is in Fort Knox because the government won't let us go in and audit. So we have no idea. Bitcoin, every single transaction of Bitcoin is public for the world to see. And you can go back to the first transaction ever. So when people yell about, oh, it's criminal and criminals use it, that's a load of crock. I'm sorry, because it's
criminals have been using money forever.
Criminals use dollars. You know what criminals use? Timber. Timber is a great money laundering system because there's timber futures. Nobody really knows the price of wood and so on. Bitcoin, literally, you can tell. And so when we had that the pipeline hack and people got the Bitcoin back, why? Because you can see where it's going. So you can tie wallets to different IP addresses if you really, really need to. Now, right, that goes against the government, the argument of some hardcore libertarians that say, well, you know, it's totally anonymous. Bitcoin is transparent, but it is anonymous. So you don't know where the wallet is. Just don't be stupid. No, I'm not, you know, endorsing being criminals here.
Of course not.
Use it as a way to store your wealth. So 21 million ever made. The more money we print, and we keep on printing it, and with no end in sight, the better it is. And I'll leave you kind of with this stat, and I'll let you ask me another question wherever you want to go, because I can talk about this for hours. But the way the government works, the way any economy works, modern economy, is that you have interest rates. Interest rates basically say, hey, if you leave your money in a bank, I will give you some sort of rate for keeping that money. And in return, I lend out the money that you deposit with me, right? And so when we lower interest rates, when interest rates are really, really low, like the checking, the savings account rates now are 0.5%, you as an individual have no incentive to go to the bank and leave your money there. What do you do? You spend it, right? You go spend it. That increases the velocity of money and that keeps the economy going. When the economy gets too hot, the interest rates, the Federal Reserve increases interest rates and it slows down people's velocity because people are now saying, oh, I can get 3%, 5% in the bank. I'll leave it and get that return, get that yield. It also costs more to lend out. So you can borrow at, let's say, 10% or borrowing at 20%. If you're borrowing at 20%, anybody has a credit card debt knows that you have to pay a lot. Exactly. So why am I saying all this? The historic average rate of the federal, of our interest rates in the country have been around 3%. In the last 10 to 15 years, we really lowered the rates. First, we wanted to get the economy going. Then we had the great financial crisis. So we lowered the rates to keep the economy going and stimulate the economy. Then we tried raising the rates in 2018, I believe. It didn't go so well. The market, the stock market freaked out. We lowered the rates again. And then COVID came, right? So COVID really wrecked the economy. We kept the rates really low. We now accumulated $30 trillion, $30 trillion in debt. And if you raise the interest rates, okay, to more or less, 3%, okay, average rates, to have the economy chugging along without having to print money, that means that we have to pay in interest, the U.S. government, $1 trillion per year, more or less. That's a third of our budget. There is no chance that we can afford to do this. Right. So the only way to pay back your debt, if I owe you, Orlando, $100, right, and then the dollars become worth less, I can give you the $100, but they don't buy as much as when you lent it to me. So that's why when we talk about inflation, the government says it's transitory, it's transitory. I don't necessarily believe that they even want it to be transitory. They want to get rid, I think, I'm speculating here. And actually, it doesn't even matter what they want to do. The point is they're printing money, inflation is going to go up, your dollar is going to become less. Over time, you know, the U.S. dollar has lost 90% of its value. And because now we have Bitcoin, a digital gold, you can store your wealth there. And if you think about it from a 5 to 10 year perspective, all that volatility up and down crashes is noise in over the course of 5 years. Because if you believe the dollar is going to crash, which I do, or at least not crash, but just, you know, diminish in value, which
yes, I agree.
You just need to find a safe harbor, right, to park your money in and save your purchasing power, not money, not dollars, purchasing power, you know? Let me say one more thing, because I think this is so important for people to understand. And many people, this is like, when I talk to folks, this is the number one thing that people misunderstand. I think it's so critical. We have a lot of technological breakthroughs. Think about Tesla. Like, guys, we have a self-driving vehicle in 2021, which pretty much drives itself. It's amazing, right? We're about to hit this world with crypto and self-driving vehicles and AI, where we're going to have skyrocketing innovation. We're going to have amazing technology. So what does technology do? It deflates the cost of certain items. So for example, you know, if you want to buy and get a middle of the line TV, probably cost you $500. You wanted to get a middle of the line TV 10 years ago, probably cost you $500, but the TV today is much better than it was before, right? Or buying the old TV today will cost you $10, right? Because it's just technology has improved. So on consumable goods, guys, please, this is the most important thing, you know, if you take away on consumable goods, things that we use, technological products, clothes, if it doesn't include human labor, the costs will feel, they'll go up, but they're not going to, they'll feel low, right? They'll feel like affordable, but good luck trying to buy your next house. Okay. Good luck. Good luck trying to enter into a capital asset. That's why we look at all these billionaires and we say, oh, wow, look, COVID, everyone got poor. They got rich. No, we made them rich by printing money.
Right.
We made them rich with our policies, because they were able to figure out how to store their money in investment vehicles. So shirts, same price.
While giving them tax havens, by the way.
While giving them tax havens. I completely agree, but you know they know how to play the game.
Yes.
And that's the number one thing. Crypto allows you to play the game before the Wall Street and rich people play the game. And that's the first time we've democratized access to good investable assets for the masses before Wall Street, by the way.
Good stuff as always. Alex Chizik, by the way, head of listings for OKCoin.com. Go check it out. Download the app at OKCoin and check out some of the different things that they can do there. Not only a great selection of coins, but also staking. So your opportunity, because that's kind of what we're talking about, Alex, that what people don't understand, that while we're watching the dollar go down, those of us that are investing in the right properties like Ethereum or Bitcoin or Matic or Star Atlas or those kind of things, we're watching our money grow, actually.
Yeah,
that's the difference. That those of us that have, especially if, let's say, you started investing in, you know, late last year and going into 2021, and by now you are enjoying some major
profits. 5x. Yeah, 3 to 5x your money.
Easily you're 5x right now, because and so over the last year the dollar's gone down. Over the last year, those of us that have been in crypto, you're way up and you're enjoying profits and you're pulling profits now, and you're establishing something that is going to continue to grow down the line. I mean, look at Crow now has exploded to a point that if you stayed patient, you're there. Ethereum was like, what, $1,700 10 months ago? Yeah. And also about 3 months ago, when on the dip, it went down back to $1,750, $1,800. Now you're well over $4,000. I mean, this is the difference that's going on in this sphere compared to the reality that people are facing right now. They're watching their businesses go down. They're watching businesses lose employees. And we're watching the digital world is exploding, NFTs, smart contracts, all of these things. And people aren't understanding that the people that are moving their businesses to the blockchains are the ones that are really increasing the value moving forward in this society.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, this is one of the things that we're trying to do at OKCoin. Look, I'll just give a quick plug. We're an exchange. So we do four things. Every exchange has four things. Deposit, withdraw your money. Buy and sell different cryptocurrencies. Think of it as a store, and you're coming in and you're trying to say, oh, which toothpaste brand do I want? This one, this one, this one. This is the same thing for cryptos. We really try to live by this mantra of personal sovereignty. And so we have two kind of products. There are different crypto assets that you can buy. And like you said, you can stake. Stake basically says, I'm going to buy a crypto asset. And for those that allow you to, you deposit them into the crypto asset savings account. And those different crypto assets, some pay 15%, some pay 10%, some pay,
Polkadot is 1764, Polygon is 1549, Algorand 1416, Tezos 1188, Stacks 10%, Miami Coin 280%. By the way, some of us got it at 430 also, by the way.
and it's true. And you're actually getting that rate. You saw the returns from that you're getting on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's paying off. And that's why you got to, I always tell people, you got to do your homework. And by the way, tell them about the podcast, because I think listening to your podcast is a great way for people to kind of get educated, because people always ask me, what do I do? How do I find out about it? And I tell them, you got to read, you got to, you know, try to follow up, try to find shows that are dedicated to it. Now you got to watch out on YouTube, because you got a lot of these YouTubers that are, you know, they're kind of sold out to certain things, and they're kind of pushing products and all that, instead of actually really talking about it. You know, you were on Altcoin Daily the other day. I think that's a fantastic show for anybody trying to learn about crypto, because that's just a news-based show. Mm-hmm. It just gives you the news, so then you can make your own opinions after that.
Yeah, I think fantastic what you said. I think a good rule of thumb is, if you're going to YouTube and you see these crazy faces like, oh, 100% gains, the next, you know, stay away. You have to be very careful. So my co-host Shimon and I started this the podcast and the show about a year and a half ago for fun. We do it on the side, and we would sit together and really push each other's thinking on investments and how we invest. And then we said, why don't we just start recording it? And what ended up happening was the beginning ones are terrible, but this is actually good information because we go back and it's a nice way to timestamp it. And we were like, oh my God, we were right there and we were right here and we're right. And so you have this track record of saying we literally said some of the things that are happening today, you know, 2 years ago, just based on our understanding of technology investments. And again, this is what both of us have done for, you know, 15 to 20 years professionally at the highest levels. And so we just started recording ourselves and bringing on guests the way you're doing it to talk to people, to experts in the field. And yeah, check out the show. There's an episode called, you know, Why Invest in Bitcoin. And one of my friends asked about it and I made an episode, especially for her, but for many other people.
That's great. It's great for everybody. Yeah.
It's great for everyone. So it's Why Invest in Bitcoin. We talk about crypto a lot, not because we're just such, you know, moon boys or fanboys of crypto, which we are, but it's because crypto brings this opportunity. And you know, and so just a touch on OKCoin, a big mantra for us is the self-sovereignty. And so we try to give more of these earn products. I think we have the biggest earn selection in the US for all the other exchanges. And we don't charge a penny for earn, like zero. It costs us money to run it actually in the background because we send cryptos back and forth to different protocols. You don't need to know all that. You do need to know that it's free for you, completely free. And the rates that we give aren't our rates. It's the rates of the market. So we pass it on completely to you. And if you compare us versus some of the other for the same assets, some of the other competitors like a Kraken or a Coinbase or a Gemini or even a Binance US, crypto.com, we have much higher rates. Yeah, they take spread on those. We don't. And the other thing, when you trade, there are different ways to trade. But if you trade on the actual market, if you put a market order in, 0.1% fees, which is by far the lowest. Like coin, you know, I won't speak ill of anyone else. I mean, we're all trying to build a better world. But it's just by far the lowest fees. And so it's just our way. We can, by the way, we can increase the fees, double our profits, and still be the lowest in the market, and we don't do it. And why don't we do it? Because we firmly believe, starts with a CEO, Hong, that we want to give as much to the customer as we can. I mean, it can't be free. It does cost a lot of money to run the platform. The fees you'll see, the rates are the highest, the fees are the lowest in the market. So if you want a good selection, and my job at OKCoin, I have to find those nuggets like the Star Atlases.
Yes.
So yeah, you're a fan. I'm a big fan of that team. I've seen some of the things that they're doing. I talk to Michael, the CEO, all the time, and they're just building a beautiful digital world, a world beyond imagination, as they say, and it's true.
20 cents. There we go. It just hit 20 cents.
There we go. So I think we listed it at 8 cents. What is it now? 17, 18?
No, it's 20. It just did 20.
There we go. So we listed it a few months ago at it was 8. Now it's 20, right? So that's, you know, 1.5 X there, right there, just a profit, not, you know, 2.5 X return. But Miami Coin is another one. We really support what this group City Coins are doing and the mayor.
Talk to us. You know, I was going to ask you about that because I want to get two more questions in before you go. Miami Coin, I know New York City is on deck. I heard San Francisco is also working on it. It's all done by through Stack on top of Bitcoin, apparently. So explain a little bit about the concept and do you like it? Does it have a future? Because I thought it was so forward thinking of Mayor Suarez to do this. And obviously, if it's going to help the city eliminate some of the taxes from the people, that would be absolutely phenomenal. I think it's already produced like 21 million to this point or something like that. So the city obviously is doing something that it's really helping them. But overall is us, because I've got, you know, a nice bag of Miami Coin, you know, staked on OKCoin. So talk to me a little bit about the future, the token op. What do you think?
Yeah, look, I'll say any token that's listed on OKCoin, I stand behind. It's ultimately my job to bring good tokens. And if, God forbid, I bring some shit coin onto our platform, then I shouldn't have my job. and I stand behind that. My bosses fire me, please. If I bring a shit coin and it blows up in our faces, I shouldn't be there. I like to walk the walk if I'm talking the talk. So I think, you know, that's one. So two is, what does Miami Coin do? Miami Coin was an innovative approach to reimagining civic engagement by a group called City Coins. And I think they approached the mayor and they the mayor said, wow, this is amazing. Let's try it out. And obviously he's behind it. And what it does is, without going too deep into the mechanics, there are miners of the coin. So basically securing the network, the Miami Coin blockchain, and people who mine, 70% goes to people like you, Orlando, who are staking or holding the coins. You're also helping secure the chain. 30% goes to the city. So it's a way for the city to, if you support, the let's say a politician or a mayor of Francis, you can do a few things. You can donate to him, right? You can donate to the city. You can go knocking on doors and be a community organizer. This gives you another avenue. It says, hey, buy this coin. Why is it good? Because with the donation, you just give it off. With buying a coin, it's like giving a donation, but you also get to see the upside. So if more people also believe in Mayor Suarez, right, then they will buy the coins, stake the coins. It will incentivize more mining. Revenue goes to the city. So it's an interesting game theory, economic perspective of, call it, municipal bonds reimagined or civic engagement reimagined. And if Mayor Suarez starts doing poor policies, you better believe this coin will be sold off and the city will get much less money.
I got you.
It incentivizes politicians to listen to a new constituency that hasn't been able to be vocal before, right?
Right.
And when your coin comes out, and it just launched, and I think there'll be more San Francisco and so on, you're going to be able to see competition between cities, for policy competitions between cities. And that's why I am a fan of the project. I'm not saying to go sell or buy. Please do your own research. I'm not, again, any
coin. Always. Always.
Yeah, always do your own research. Never listen to anyone, including myself. again, I stand behind all the projects. So I'm naturally a fan of all the coins that are on OKCoin. So I'm a fan of city coins. You will be able to see, arbitrage between the city. Let's say you don't like what San Francisco is doing. The value of that coin falls and value of Miami goes up. Well, the politicians in San Francisco can be like, oh my God, Miami is getting millions of dollars, not taxable, just millions of dollars to the city. We're getting nothing. What are they doing that we're not doing? Hey, maybe we should do the same thing.
Right. I got you.
Right. It's phenomenal.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. It'll create competition between them. And hopefully, we have such a progressive mayor that, hopefully that'll keep us with the edge. And I love that he wants to bring miners down and he understands that they need, obviously, the natural energy and all of that, because we want to stay away from gas and all that other stuff that's going on. One other thing.
Sure.
This is a weird – now, it doesn't bother me because I don't live there, but we have this show is listened and watched by people all over the world and all over our country. Dude, what's up with New York, man? Like, they only get Coinbase. They can't get OK. Like, I have lots of listeners that have gotten Miami Coin already, and they've staked and they've gotten Star Atlas. Yeah. But some of my listeners in New York are like, I can't get OK coins. And like, they can't get a whole bunch of them. They can't get Voyager and they can't get crypto.com or whatever, any of these Binance. They can't. What's up with New York? That's so weird.
Yeah. Look, so New York, New York DFS, which is the Department of Financial Services, has rules and regs in place. And they have a thing called the BIT license. BIT license basically says you're able to operate in New York and you have additional requirements of reporting requirements and so on. It's their way to protect the citizens of New York. And I can't, we're working actively, obviously, as is everyone.
They're hurting their citizens is what they're doing.
Look, I will no comment on what New York is doing or not, but I will say this that
smart.
Yeah, that's your look, some people like are much more regulation friendly, if you will. Some people are less regulation friendly. I'm not here to say one way or the other, but I will say this, that a project like CityCoins, hopefully, right? I don't know how it's going to work out. I really don't. But the promise is that it will create exactly these discussions of saying, hey, we've done, it could be BIT license, it could be crime, it could be, it could be anything. It could be, hey, we want to use our taxes for this or this, or we want to raise real estate taxes and lower sales taxes. It doesn't matter. The point is that
the education part of it, that they get to learn what crypto's about and how they can benefit from it, and they can understand exactly. It because the new bill that was just passed, you know, they want to charge everybody that handles crypto like if they're a dealer, and that's just, you know, absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, you're talking about
the retailer, yeah. The miners, oh yeah, the from the new yeah, it's just, you know, and that comes from ignorance.
It's ignorance.
Again, that comes from, I mean, Alex, what, maybe less than 5% of the world knows what the hell crypto is. Maybe 70% has heard of Bitcoin, but they don't know what the hell Bitcoin is as it is, right? What are we talking about? Maybe 5% of the world knows what Bitcoin. What
probably is. It's becoming bigger now. But I'm encouraged. There are politicians out there, both on a national level, but more importantly, local. Support your local politicians. There's a woman I used to I would help advise. Her name is Margaret Croak. She's in Illinois. Fantastic young woman, young representative who's been pushing crypto bills in Illinois. There are similar folks in, you know, pretty much every state. Let me wrap with the following. I think this is now that we're coming up on Thanksgiving, we'll kind of wrap it with a very patriotic, pro-American in this case, message. Is if you're a patriot of the U.S., okay, the U.S. is like the perfect country where crypto should take off. And all the politicians, all the politicians that speak out against it, are either doing it because of some, they're tied to some special interests.
Yes.
Or because they don't understand. Because if they really are patriotic about the U.S., the reason why we have our own set of problems. But I believe fully the reason why we can enjoy our freedoms is because of the federalist system in the U.S. So basically it means the central government, the federal government, is compared to the other countries, a weaker federal government, and the power goes off to the states, right? So if there's the economy between the federal government and the states, you cannot have a president come in and do whatever they want willy-nilly. It goes to the court. Some states say yes, some states say no. It moves us really slowly. Right, we move really slowly, but man, when we move, it's a debated, painful, thought out process. But that's a feature, right? Not a bug, because you cannot have a dictator come in, a president come in, and say we're gonna screw all these rules and we're gonna do X, Y, Z. The system won't let him. We've decentralized our system of governance. What is crypto and what is Bitcoin? It's a decentralized.
Exactly.
System of governance. So Bitcoin specifically moves really slowly. It's a feature, not a bug. To make a change in Bitcoin, it's like making a change to the Constitution. We have to be sure, right, that this is the change. And it takes a lot of momentum to change it because the system is so anti-fragile. And so I really believe in the long term, and I'm around a lot of some of the political workings, and I live in DC. I see there's a blockchain association. There's a digital chamber of digital commerce, which with a woman leading it called Perry on Boring. They're very good in terms of pushing that agenda and starting to talk to politicians. But I think politicians will appreciate the bill. Politicians that are truly patriotic appreciate. And by the way, like the chairmen and women of the Fed and so on, anybody in government that appreciates what this country is, appreciates the Constitution, has to appreciate crypto. They're one and the same. It's just a different lens and the same exact approach. Decentralized system of governance that gives power or as much power as they can to the people, to the sovereign individual, to preserve individual freedoms. That's it.
I'm with you.
That is America.
By the way, if we were smart, when China was kicking out miners, we should have said, yeah, hey, come on down. Let's go.
Texas was smart.
I know.
That's exactly
know.
What Texas did.
I was actually surprised that Ted Cruz was so smart about, you know, because there aren't a lot of those guys. You know what I mean? Because I don't think, obviously, Biden understands it. Trump doesn't definitely understand it.
Trump does not understand.
He's like in 1950 still. So there's not a lot of presidents. So we have to count on some of these senators and congressmen that actually are invested in crypto and understand it to kind of hopefully fix, you know, what's going on.
Decentralized system. Exactly. Yeah. This is exactly it. And it works.
No,
like we were able to endure it because it works.
Yep, I'm with you. Alex, man, great conversation. Right. I could continue for a couple of hours. I'm sure you can too. It's been really informative for the folks. And you know, I hope we can do it again and
bring you on.
Because I think this is a process that we have to educate people so they can take advantage of it and they can free themselves too at the same time. Because
yeah.
that's what crypto is going to be. It's going to be a liberating thing that you're not going to be tied down by the government in so many different ways financially. It's really going to open up a lot of avenues for all of us. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to having more conversations with you folks. Download OKCoin. Go to your app store. Check it out. You can stake so many different coins, like Miami Coin. You can get 280%. I can post a link also so you can get the $50 free of
Bitcoin.
It's on my Twitter page. I'll repost that that tweet there so you guys can check it out on my page at Big O Show. And one more time, the podcast, it's the host. He's the host of the Hardcore Finance Show. So look for it. It's wherever you get your podcast, the Hardcore Finance Show with Alex Chizik. And you can follow him also on Twitter and follow OKCoin also on Twitter.
Absolutely.
Great stuff, my brother. I look forward to doing it again, my man.
Pleasure. Pleasure is all mine. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. You're the best. Appreciate you. You got it. There you go. Uber Beaner says, Big O, I'm kicking myself for not buying any crow. In your opinion, what's a good entry point? Not financial advice. Well, Uber Beaner, it's interesting that you mentioned that. Because yesterday, crow hit, I think it was 89 cents or something like that, 90 cents for a moment yesterday, and then came back down, right? So I have not bought any crow in a long time, all right? I mean, I've gotten crow as rewards and stuff like that. Today I bought a mic, actually, on Amazon, and I got crow rewarded and stuff like that. So I saw that it dipped last night 12%, and it got down to 67 cents. And I bought some at 34 cents, okay, because it came down and it kind of found a little home at 34. And so I bought some, and obviously it's doubled already from there. So last night, I felt like taking a little more. I felt like taking some profits out of my SHIB. And I said, you know what, man? It behooves me to have more crow if I can get more crow. And so there was a 12% dip last night. It went down to 67. So I took some profits out of my SHIB. This is the first time I take profits out of SHIB. And I moved it over to crow. And I bought crow at 67 cents. And you know where crow is this morning right now? Let's see. Let me get it. Let me get an update here because it was over the 70s the last time I checked. I'll tell you where it's at right now. It is at 75 cents. So the stuff I got at 67, it's already at 75 cents. I'm already making 8 cents off each coin right now as it is from what I did. So that's how you do it. If you want to get in, you wait for a dip, you know, a nice two-digit dip. Like I did last night, it was 12%. I said, you know what, man? You know, I know I can wait for SHIB and wait for SHIB, but crow is hitting. And I think crow is just going to continue to grow. And so I waited for a dip, and I got in, and I said, you know what? Let me do that. And so I took a little SHIB out, and I went to, so why not, man? Let me enjoy a little profits from SHIB and put it into crow. And now I've made more profits with crow. Plus, it helps me build my crow account, which is what I want to do anyways, because eventually I want to get to the next card. I'm at the green card right now, which is 4,000 crow that you got to stake. So now I'm trying to move up to the next card, and eventually I can get there. So there you go. So that's what I would do. You always wait for some kind of a dip. The dip will happen, and when that correction happens and it hits that floor, by the way, you don't always time the floor. Yesterday, I timed it pretty good at 67, 66, and I hit it right at the bottom of it, and now it shot back up again. So I got lucky last night that I was able to do that, but I was patiently waiting and watching. Okay, so remember, all of this takes work. You have to study. You have to read up on it. You have to check up on your stuff, and you got to keep track with what is going on. It takes work. It's not just, you know, hey, by osmosis, and it works. But a lot of you ask me sometimes, again, I'm not a financial advisor. I am just a dude that loves crypto. I encourage every one of you out there to do your own homework, to figure everything out on your own, okay? Don't just go by what I say. Do your own homework. Look into it. Make sure you know what the hell you're investing in, and then you feel good about it. But these crypto projects, I want to get a little more involved in. And these are investments. Kadena, I haven't gotten into these yet, but I do want to. Sunday Swap. Sunday Swap is the Uniswap, the Pancake Swap, or Shiba Swap of the Cardano ecosystem. And remember, smart contracts started in September. Everything is now starting to roll on the Cardano ecosystem. The businesses and all the dApps and everything else are going to start moving a lot now. Cardano is another one that's been kind of stagnant lately. That one's going to be making a parabolic move soon. So will Polygon, by the way. Sunday Swap is going to be the swap that they're going to be using on the Cardano ecosystem. I can guarantee you that. And I think Sunday Swap, it's going to come out like at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 cents, something like that. So it's going to be really cheap coming out of the gate. Normally, I don't like investing in coins the second they come out because usually there's a rise and then there's a dip. But if I can get my hands on it, I'm going to try to get in on this early on, and I'll wait for the dip and get a little bit more. But I do like Sunday Swap, and it's something, you know, I'm big on trying to get in coins early, okay? Crow, I got in early. VeChain, I'm in early. You know, you want to get in when they're pennies or fractions, like BitTorrent. BitTorrent's been dormant, all that, and it's been sitting at a third to a fourth of a penny. You know what I mean? But to me, it doesn't matter. What I've done is I'll continue to accumulate because eventually it's going to shoot up. And when it does, then I will then be able to take the profits and I'll let it sit there and I'll let it marinate. You know what I mean? But Kadena, and that's Kadena, Sunday Swap, and it's spelled Sundae Swap, Akala, also Acala, and Ecomi. Now, I'm already in Ecomi on gate.io, but it hasn't reached a penny yet. And Ecomi is another one that I think is going to just absolutely be a monster. And then there's a gamble, and that's Saitama. And I'm waiting for the Saitama swap to come out so you can buy it directly from Saitama, because you're going to be able to buy it from them and then stake it at 6%. Now, they've had some issues. They had a logo issue recently here, and I think they've solved that logo issue. But they have very interesting relationships, okay, on this coin. And so it's not a meme coin. It's an ecosystem. The logo you may look at it and you think, oh, there's a meme coin. It's not really a meme coin. It's actually a real ecosystem. So I think this is one that has, and because again, it's, you know, several digits behind the penny, you know what I mean? I want to get into Saitama to kind of test it. But again, that one's a gamble. Rolling the dice, okay? Like, you know, Shiba is rolling the dice, right? You know what I did? I took some of my profits from Shiba yesterday. You know what I did with those profits? There was a dip in Crow. I bought Crow. So this, I already got my investment out from Shiba. Now I took some profits for the first time. While we're waiting for Shiba, and it's been sitting there and consolidating for a while, and you know, I expected to take off a little bit more, but you know what, I had so much Shiba that I actually took some profits out. And there was a dip yesterday, last night, on crypto, and listen, I on Crow, and I got my Crow really, really cheap, but there was a dip yesterday. Again, you're not always going to time the dip the right way, but I got the dip down at 67. And I said, you know what? This thing's going to continue to climb. So I went and bought a bunch at 67, and it's shot up now this morning to 73, about to 74 cents. So I'm already almost making 7 cents off of each coin that I bought last night, because I know that this thing is going parabolic. You know, I've talked about Crow for months now, so many months. And I told you that I compared it a lot to Binance. Binance is at $500, $600. So, you know, and I think this is going to be better than Binance. So I don't know if it'll get to that kind of number, but it's going to climb. You know, I'm a strong believer in Crow. So there you go. There's a little gambling and crypto talk right there for you in the process. All right.